Hey, I am glad to be back with you guys tonight. I've been doing a lot of teaching to high school and junior high students, so it's fun to be back in a stage full of us old OGs, right? And so I'm glad to be back. Mike, I know, brought the word last week, and he crushed it, and it was a great message on protecting. And providing is tonight's theme, and it's an easy continuation from where we were last week from protecting. Protecting and providing really do go closely hand in hand together. And I want to, there's a word that I have been living in lately called, that I've used, it's just the word safe. What does it mean when we use the word safe, right? And you'll hear me talk about this with Jenny, that one of the things that we try to focus on is that I encourage other men is like, have you ever stopped for a moment and asked yourself, does your wife feel safe? Now, if you're not married in this room, this isn't to exclude you, because there are people that fall under your provision and your care, your guidance, that you protect. But if you are married or will be married, this especially applies to, does your wife feel safe, right? Does she feel safe? And so we're going to explore a little bit of that tonight, because I think that is really something that you'd be surprised. I want to challenge you guys. Be careful if you go home and you ask your wife this, honey, do you feel safe with me? Be ready for the answer, because I know you're probably sitting there going, yeah, I can bench press 400 pounds. She feels totally safe. They're not going to align. So be ready for the answer that you might get, because years ago, I asked Jenny. So it was several years ago. I think we were probably married, I don't know, 6 or 7 years at this point. And if you know me, I sleep with a firearm next to my bed. And I'm always, like I said, I'm always ready to go. And so be careful if you're going to break in my house. Just be ready, right? Okay? So, but this one particular night, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm kind of that groggy moment where you like, I just kind of like look up. And in the window of our master bedroom is a man's silhouette outside the window, right? I mean, clear as day, I am seeing a man's silhouette backlit outside our master window with the blinds closed. And so, I mean, instinctively, I mean, without skipping a beat, I've got my hand on my 40 next to my bed. I'm grabbing my wife at the exact same time. I've got this, and I'm doing this motion where I'm grabbing here, and I'm pulling my wife, who is dead asleep, okay, yanking her out of bed. She has now fallen onto the floor next to me, and I am drawn down with the bed as my cover, and I am locked in on this silhouette. And I'm like, oh, come on. Just try to open the window. Come on. And she's, what the hell are you doing? I mean, losing her mind. And I'm like, shh, you know. And she's like, what? Okay, what you need to know is the master wing of our old house, the master bedroom and the bathroom and the closet were all on one side, okay? And if all the doors were open, the street light from the front of the house would shine through the window of our closet all the way through and illuminate the back window. So the silhouette I am seeing are my clothes in the closet. All right, but man, I was ready to poke some holes in that shadow. Like, and of course, Jenny's like, you dragged me out of bed for this? And I went, honey, don't you feel safe? Like, I mean, you're never gonna wonder now what's Danny gonna do if he sees somebody outside the room. There's no question now. So that's, I know we're laughing, but that's the space that we're going to live in tonight. And I want to kind of articulate this cultural definition as we're looking at providing tonight, right? Culture says that if I physically secure my home and I pay the bills, I put food on the table, then I'm providing. Like, that's provision. But that's only partial obedience to what God is calling us to do, right? Because a man, according to God's design, a man will provide materially, relationally, and spiritually. This is the arena that we live in, which is very similar to what Mike talked about last time, right? That we protect physically, relationally, and spiritually. So that's why they are intertwined here. So if we only emphasize one of those, right, then we're going to distort what God's design is. And now, we're not going to live in materially, because I think most of us have this down, but hear me say this, men, that there may be some of us in this room that's the one that you need to pull up. That's the one that you need to go to Christ with and say, help me not live in a lackadaisical attitude, laziness, okay? So, but most of us had this mindset that, man, I work hard, I bring home the bacon, I pay the bills, I got a roof over my head, I'm doing my job, I'm providing for my family. That's where we're going to fall short, and we want to explore these other areas that we're leaving wide open for the enemy to hurt our families and hurt our brothers and sisters around us. So we're going to live in relationally and spiritually, all right? So now going back to this idea of safe, when I went to the Cambridge definition of safe, I found actually two definitions of it. The first definition is to not be harmed or damaged. So something not being harmed or damaged, that's protection. You're keeping something from being harmed or damaged. Like it's coming out of a situation, and guess what? I protected my family. They were not harmed and they're not damaged, all right? But the other definition is actually this, to not be in danger or likely to be harmed. So to me, I hear provision in that. Like I'm providing a safe space. I'm providing an area that my family can thrive or grow, and they're not likely to be damaged, not likely to be harmed. So protection removes harm. Provision reduces danger. Reduces danger, okay? A man provides a home where his wife, his children, and even his brothers can be emotionally safe, spiritually secure, physically guarded, and relationally known. And this is what we're going to highlight. Because the question is not this, guys. The question is not, did I pay the mortgage? That's not the question that we need to wrestle with. The question is does my presence make my home safer? So what does it mean to have a safe home? So does my presence make my home safer? So starting in the Ruth and the Boaz story, you guys read that, Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So we're going to look at, starting in verse 7, it says this. After when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over. And behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "Daughter, you have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you've asked, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." Okay, so guys, the context here is this. In this day and age, a woman's worth and her value were connected to her children, to having children. That's what gave a woman value, all right? So we need to hold on to that, because what she could have done, remember, Boaz is a relative, right? And in that culture, you would go to the next relative to ensure that you had worth, that you had an inheritance, that you were given something. So she was within her rights to claim and obligate Boaz for status, giving her children. Like she had the right to do that in this context, but she didn't do that. She didn't leverage that. What she did, in fact, is then she chose relationship. She submitted to it. She honored him, showed him honor. She chose relationship. And the inverse to that, the counter to that, is so did Boaz. It's not about like, oh, if she needs to do this first or not. What it was is she recognized, I want the relationship, not the status from Boaz. Okay? Boaz, what did he do? He did the same thing. Now, he wakes up in the middle of the night, and there is a woman sleeping at his feet. Okay? Like, we kind of know probably where culture would take that. He didn't do that, did he? And instead, he found her worthy, right? He honored her. He didn't jump straight to this moment where he's like, oh, my primal needs, there's a woman sleeping at my feet. That's not what he did. He showed honor to her, right? He called her worthy. He valued her. So now she felt safe. She felt covered. She uses that imagery of the wings, right? Boaz provided dignity, honor, security, and patience in this moment. That is relational provision, okay? So now, guys, if you're married or you're going to be married someday, hear me say this, because your wife doesn't just need a house. She needs to feel known, seen, cherished, safe with your strength. And that's something that I've had to learn where I realize it's not about how do I protect Jenny. It's not about the fact that I was able to draw down on my window and protect her from the bad shadow outside. It's the fact that she knows that my eyes belong to her. She knows that when I am present, I am present, right? She has my undivided attention. She feels seen. She feels cherished. So it's not about physically protecting her. It's about relationally providing for her, right? You guys track with me? And the kids are the same way. Your kids don't need tuition paid. Your kids don't need the latest equipment for their sporting gear. They don't need all these things. They don't need you to tell them that they're going to be the next professional athlete. What they need from us is they need our voice and our time and our affirmation. Now, I've had to learn that too, because I've had moments where I'm just like, the way I treat one of my daughters at her soccer games, it's as if I'm expecting her to make the World Cup team in 10 years. And instead, what she needs to hear from me is my affirmation of how she's performing and who she is, really. Not how, but who she is, right? And your brothers around you, your brothers need your wisdom and your encouragement and your insight. They don't need status from you. So, this is where relational provision says that the other person matters more than my own impulse, my own ego, and my own comfort. Y'all with me? Y'all track with me so far? All right. So now moving on now to the spiritual provision side. And this is where we want to live in with Deuteronomy, right? Where Moses is speaking in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Now, we are going to jump and start in verse 6, and that's what we had. But y'all do need to know the context in which is right before that. If you read ahead of it, you would see that Moses says, "You shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your might." Then, what does he say? Now, continuing in 6, he says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates, and on your gates." See, guys, in a world full of storage containers and shipping containers and U-Haul trailers and bigger garages, I'm worried that we're believing that this is the inheritance of stuff that I'm leaving my kids. And y'all probably heard this before, but I've never seen a U-Haul trailer on its way to heaven, right? We can be investing in all of our portfolios and everything else. It's good. It's good to do those things here. It's important to invest in a 529 and all the different stuff. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But if that becomes the only thing we do and we're expecting that our children are going to take that with them, when they're standing before the throne of God, they're not going to be taking your brokerage account, right? But sometimes that's how we act. Like, oh, well, this is what I'm providing. I'm providing all these things. That's not what we're gaining from this with Moses in Deuteronomy. Because we got to remember, at someday, you, your wife, your children, they will be standing before the throne of God. And now we need to have a reality check here. Because we have to ask ourselves, will my child, will my wife, or myself be standing at that throne with Christ with me or not? That's the question. Because the reality is this, like, do y'all know who David Pollack is? He was a really famous college football player, played in the NFL. He was part of the college game day stuff. Well, I love, he said this one time in a message that I caught of his, and he goes that 0.0296, yes, that's an exact number, 0.0296% chance that our children will become professional athletes. Less than 0.03% will they become a professional athlete. 100% chance that they will be standing before the throne of God someday. Yet we spend so much energy and effort on the 0.03% as if that's the thing that's a guarantee. Now, it is important for us to invest in our children in that capacity, but make sure that we're not ignoring the guaranteed thing that's going to be happening. All right, so now why do I say that? Because then the next response is, well, Danny, that's good. That's why I bring them to church. Like, yeah, I really believe that they're going to be incredible athletes and we're going to do this. But I know, I hear that stat, and so that's why I want to drop them off at church. And we want to really make church a good part of their life. And I'm going to say, you are abdicating your responsibility to disciple your children to the church, and that's not right. The church is not responsible to disciple our children, your children. You are the first line. You are the thing that needs to disciple. Don't hand it off to somebody else or another institution. That's our job as men, to do that for our children. So, because there is a statistic out there that if you research this, according to Lifeway Research, 66% of children raised in the church leave between the ages of 18 and 22 when they didn't see church at home. That's what they've told people. Why did you leave the church? Why'd you walk away? I didn't see it at home. Okay? Now, the inverse of that, 82% of children who were raised in the church and saw it at home and were taught scripture at home, saw their parents active in everything that they did at church, 82% stayed through their young adult years and on. That's a huge statistic, opposite directions. So guys, we got to ask ourselves, are we diligently teaching our children? Because Moses didn't say, take them to temple once a week. What did he say? He said, write it on their hearts. Write it on your heart. Put it on the doorpost of your house. Put it on the guard post of your gates. Write God's word everywhere. Teach it to them diligently, right? Okay. Because spiritual provision means that your kids are hearing you pray. They see you repent. They watch you forgive. And they hear scripture at your table. Now, this is something I'm preaching to the choir. I had to bring back into my daily rhythm where I realized I only have a few more years left with my oldest. Am I investing every opportunity I have into her hearing God's word and knowing what God says about her, right? Because there will come a day when we, our wives, our children, and our brothers, because this isn't just for married men or not married men, everybody, people in our purview that we have influence over, they will all be standing before the throne, and Christ will either be their advocate or their judge. Which way is it going to go? That's the challenge that I have for us tonight. So, this is our call to action for the night. Questions you should ask yourself is my home materially stable but spiritually quiet? Does my wife feel protected but not pursued? Do my children know my standards but not my prayers? And am I outsourcing what God assigned to me to others? So, a providing man does this. He's working diligently, he pursues relationally, and he's leading spiritually. Okay, guys, that's what I want to leave you with tonight. Amen? All right, let me pray for us. Don't wait, do it tonight, and jump back into your tables. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this message, and thank you for writing it on my heart and on these men's hearts. Lord, I pray for myself too, that everything that I just spoke on wouldn't be just empty words even in my own life, that I would invest more fully into the spiritual development of my family and my friends, that I would commit to them, because Lord, you have redeemed me, and I can't just sit on this. It's my job to move forward. So Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for these men. Be with us the rest of the evening. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.